It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. How you doing tonight? It is Sunday, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, which means it's time for the sit-down with yours truly. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Much love to everyone who is joining us. Big shout-out for everybody who is, you know, pretty familiar with the show. For those that are new, welcome aboard. Sit Down is a very laid-back show. I legitimately show up with a blank piece of paper. If you see writing on it, it might have to be to plug Manscaped, because tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, which means their mission is to have every man to have a nice trimmed genitalia out there. I kid you not. You know, if anyone out there, it's going to be like, well, does it have to be men? Well, you know, whether you identify yourself as a man or a woman, if you were born as a man, I believe just by science, your pubic hairs are a little bit different than women. Take a woman shaver and try to do this, and let's see what happens. Take a Venus razor and try to go down there and do it if you were born as a man. Let's see what happens. Let's see how many Band-Aids you have to use. So, yeah, I use a car. You know what sucks? I have bought so many electric razors in my lifetime, and for some reason, an electric razor never seems to give you that unbelievable close shave. I don't care what Amazon reviews I see. You know, you always shave it, you look close, and you always got like a little bit of hair left over. I always find myself using a regular razor no matter what. But tonight is not about shaving. Tonight is about talking. For the next 60 minutes or so, I am going to sit back, relax, and we will discuss whatever is on your mind. You set the stage for what is discussed tonight. Everybody who is live, doesn't matter if you're a subscriber or a member or Super Chat, of course, those get VIP treatment. If you see anyone in the chat that has a green lettering, they obviously get a little VIP status as well. But all I ask is that if you have a question or a comment you want me to discuss tonight, just put before your post, just write out in capital letters, question or comment. This way I could spot it quicker and we could get into it quicker. Now, I do see right here, right off the bat, Giuseppe sending in a $10 super chat. Thank you very much for that. What is my take on Kevin Nash saying that WWE tried to dismantle what Triple H built while he was sick? Have a great show, Mr. Podfather. Give me a few minutes because I want to pull up Kevin Nash's exact quote, because I'm not saying that what you wrote is inaccurate. But, you know, there was something else that Kevin Nash said in that interview that I think a lot of people are leaving out. And it's a very important point, and it has to do with Shawn Michaels. So I will get back into what you brought up. So give me a few minutes so I could pull up the quote, and then we'll definitely tackle that. Ronald Crackdonald with the five spot. Thank you very much, my friend. Do I still think the Mets will face the Dodgers in the World Series? Fuck you. Fuck. Wait, don't you have some crack to deal with? Yeah, last week, my brain was a little bit mushed, and I said, I meant the Mets and the Dodgers in the NLCS, not the World Series. If the Mets faced the Dodgers in the World Series, that means one of those teams would have had to have gone to the American League. So people are not going to let me forget about that anytime soon. I can't inaccurately report wrestling. So the best you could do is Mets and Dodgers. So, fuck you. And I say that with love. You know that. All right. Let's hit the chat. Actually, one more. Just a friendly hello. Oral Carter with the two spot. Thank you very much, my friend. I saw you write something earlier. You asked me earlier about the Good Brothers and Tennille Dashwood. Their impact contracts are coming to an end soon. Do I see either one of them going back to WWE? All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I personally think the Good Brothers, if they want an easy pay and be able to work outside projects, if they still want to do their pay-per-views, I could see them going to AEW. The fact is, you go to AEW, I mean, look, we were talking about it for how many weeks now? Swerve Scott, Swerve Strickland, Keith Lee, AEW tag champs now for 5 weeks, and they have wrestled so far, Private Party. Who's that Matarazzo in Ring of Honor? It's actually Josh Woods and Tony Nese. 5 weeks. 5 weeks. Who are they facing at the pay-per-view? I haven't seen anything yet. But didn't we just hear something that FTR might be part of a six-man tag? For what? For what? Is this when FTR came out with Wardlow for no fucking reason, and now that's a six-man at the pay-per-view? You know, this is not, you know, a long-term booking. This is just, you know, we can't fucking figure out how to have someone showcased on a more frequent basis. So we'll have somebody wrestle a meaningful match every 4 or 5 weeks. And then when something finally develops in 3 or 4 months, when it should only happen in 3 or 4 weeks, people are like, oh, that's long-term booking. Oh, my God. So the Good Brothers, I could see going to AEW again, but they will obviously get lost in the shuffle. It's pretty obvious. But it depends on what they want to do with their outside projects. If they could get paid enough and they're not going to do those outside projects, sure, I could see them going back to WWE. The Good Brothers are one of the top tag teams. I mean, let's not forget how fucking good, you know, those guys are. I mean, Carl Anderson, you know, is a little bit different style than his tag partner, but they're awesome. And they're still in the prime of their careers. They're not over the hill. You would kind of think over the last 2 years, the Good Brothers would have done far more. I don't know. It just feels like, you know, they're making some good pay. They're having some good times. And that's it. Does not feel it. I mean, say what you want about Hall and Nash and their creative powers in WCW. But, you know, even at their lamest, their, you know, status was much higher on the food chain. And yes, they were main eventers, obviously. Kevin Nash probably more than Scott Hall, God rest his soul. Tennille Dashwood, I'm not sure. I have nothing against Tennille Dashwood. I used to be a big Emma fan. You know, when she unfortunately had that incident at Walmart, whatever it was, we felt bad. You know, I don't think she would, you know, in hindsight, I don't think she was trying to steal an iPod case. But I don't know. With her also, it just feels like you would have thought that she would have gone further, you know, as far as amongst casual wrestling fans. You don't hear her name being thrown around by casual wrestling fans. Even when they talk about fantasy matches, indie shows, you don't see that all that much. So, Crazy Cruiserweight with the lighthearted goofiness. Cruiserweight, should I post it like this? Is that better? You know, I think something like that, we might have to. What color undergarments does Thea Hale wear? I have no idea. I have no idea. Actually, I'll say black. I'll say black. Because this way, when she wrestles, you know, how do I know? Do you know what color undergarments that I wear? Right now, they're blue checkered. So, all right. All right. Michael Gonzalez, shout out to you. Have I seen a new Derek Jeter documentary? Not yet. Do I have any interest in watching it? Sure. I love documentaries. You know, I get a little sick and tired when things are repeated over and over again. But Derek Jeter, number two. You would have thought by now there would have been more. I mean, I know there's been some, but you would have thought by now that would have been, that drum would have been beaten to death. And it doesn't feel like it has. I mean, you know, sure, there's a lot of, you know, the unknown with Derek Jeter. Lives a very, very private life. But, yeah, I would see it. I would definitely look forward to seeing it. So, Caveman says WWE did not showcase the Good Brothers in the right light. You know, look, the Good Brothers actually did decent in WWE. It's just that, you know, unfortunately, the circumstances, and look, this was right at the, wasn't this right at the beginning of the COVID era as well? I actually think that the WWE Universe actually dug the Good Brothers. You know, when they teased a little bit with AJ Styles, that was great. It's just that the sports entertainment aspect of this, and make no mistake about it, I think some people are starting to realize it now. Sports entertainment is not going away. You could use the word wrestling on TV again, and you can, you know, have a better vibe and a better energy, and people feel like their voice may be at least heard, may not be listened to. But, you know, again, I think people need to take a step back and remember Triple H has been part of the machine for two decades. This man has not been an outsider. You know, as much as you want to brainwash people or convince yourself that Triple H is going to do something completely different, this is a successful billion-dollar corporation, publicly traded company. It is their stock is up 20-something percent over the last year. You do not fuck with that. You do not try to screw that up. You're going to see a lot of the same ingredients. The ingredients might be enhanced, but you're not going to see this drastic change. The feeling feels different, you know, but you're not going to see this. It's like dating someone and you're an adult and you break up and then you see the person again a couple of years later and all, you know, that stuff you forgot about, that newness feels like it came back and you got all this excitement and hope and promise that, you know, things will be different. And then within a couple of weeks, you realize you're like, no, you know, that person is pretty much the same. It's just that you envisioned that the second time around things would have been different, you know, or a lot of what you, Triple H has been around, you know, and when I pull up Kevin Nash's remarks, you know, there's something very, very important about that, that a lot of people I think are intentionally leaving out. So we'll get to that. Rockstar Wolfie, what's going on? My friend, where does Toxic Attraction go from here now that Mandy Rose is still in NXT and it seems that Gigi and JC Jane got called up? Well, look, don't bank on Toxic Attraction being in WWE's main roster permanently now. This is a little bit of a taste. You know, I talked about their match yesterday. I think there was a lot of nerves, but the match wasn't, you know, as good as I think a lot of people anticipated. This was a little bit of a test, a little bit of a promotion, a little bit of a feel. Look at Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker, do you remember the night that they advertised him for Raw? People clickbaited and tweet-fucked people saying, oh, that's it. He's promoted to the main roster. He's staying there. He's dropping the title. He's going to the main roster. No, they just let him get his feet wet. In my opinion, you let Toxic Attractions get their feet wet. You do not pull the trigger and bring them to the main roster right now. I mean, you're doing a tag tournament, so you want to spice things up a little bit. You give them a little taste. Let them feel a little bit of what the future will bring. So I do not agree with you that they're promoted to the main roster and that's that. I think they will go back. I think they will stay there a little bit longer, get a little bit more seasoning, and when the time is right, then you bring them up. Listen, especially if Sasha and Naomi come back, and sooner than later, you see Toxic Attraction leapfrogging a lot of other teams out there? Not necessarily. So, you know, a lot of people like to fantasize seeing people on the main roster, but when you start realizing, you know, the amount of people that they have to overtake to get any type of momentum. I mean, you look at the women's division and people are talking about Io Sky and Dakota Kai. If they would have just remained singles wrestlers, I think they would have had a very difficult time trying to get into main event status. When you got Rhea Ripley and you got Bayley returning and you got Bianca Belair and you got now Becky Lynch is on the injured list, you know, you got to leapfrog those people. And if you do end up feuding with some of those people, chances are you're going to be on the losing end almost every time. So being promoted is one thing. Getting the right time and opportunity is another. You know, I love that Karrion Kross is back, you know, but if you really take a step back and think about it, is he actually going to beat Roman Reigns for the championship? No. Is he going to beat Drew McIntyre if he wins a championship? It's possible, because that scenario about Drew being the one, I'm a fighting champion. I'm not like Roman Reigns and hijacking both titles. I have two titles on my shoulders, which means Raw, come get it. SmackDown, cut. That's my Drew McIntyre person. Drew McIntyre is going to be the one that is going to break up those titles. Then you could say, okay, maybe Karrion Kross does get one of those two. Sure. But if they don't, then you start thinking about other people. How do you break through? So that's the challenge that WWE Creative has. Guardian of Chaos, much love, my friend. Big week coming up for me. Thank you very much. Yeah, September 3rd, I will be tying the knot. Today was a very stressful day. Finalizing a lot of things, paying off my, you know, the reception hall. I had to charge a decent amount of it, you know, paying off the limo today, paying off this, you know, charging a lot of stuff, but, you know, it's getting a little crazy. So remember, mark on your calendars, everyone. I will be on vacation from September 10th to the 18th. I might surprise everyone and do maybe one or two live streams while I'm in Disney. And by the way, if you are going to be in Disney for their Halloween party at Magic Kingdom on 12, September 16th, I will be in Magic Kingdom September 16th. You will not miss me. I will be wearing, yes, I am going to wear a Don Tony shirt. I remember people used to rip me apart. Why are you wearing a shirt of yourself? I'm like, do you ever see anybody in wrestling when they have a shirt? They wear it. They promote their own stuff. I mean, I have one for the lady as well. So I will not be doing streams from Disney. I see all those videos and I've been watching all those videos to try to get familiar, because I've never been to Disney before. Never been there. As far as me going to NXT on the 13th, that is still in the works. By next week, I should know. Somebody is working on it. And if I do go, there is a request in there for me to go backstage and take a picture with the other Don of Pro Wrestling. Oh, I almost forgot. I got this delivered to me yesterday. I know what they are because the writing is on the box. I will tell you that I was extremely, quote unquote, surprised of what they were. There are six of them in there, and I think we may give out one or two. I can't show you from far away. I'm sure somebody who has 4K can zoom in and figure out what these were. I got a bunch of these. Very pleasantly surprised. Did not expect these. Ah, fuck it. I'll open it. They're not worth a crazy amount of money. Look what came. I got surprised with a half a dozen. Paul Heyman. Funko Pops. So we may give away one or two tomorrow. So I know I said a while back that I wanted a few of these. Hey, WWE, Funko, Bucko, you know, make it happen. Somebody made it happen. Somebody sent me six of them. So we'll give away maybe one or two tomorrow. So, Steve Barbie. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. It's fantastic. I hated that fucking song. You have no idea growing up and hearing that shit. You know, at least a lot of you who are younger, you hear like on an oldie station. I had to grow up in an era where I heard fucking Careless Whisper by Wham every 5 minutes. And then I would go out to clubs and you would hear some like really, really intense shit. You'd be like, yeah. I was never like Jersey Shore, like, yeah. And yeah, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. You're a spastic. It's fantastic. I hate that song. Oh, my God. punch right in the mouth. With my luck, I'll go to Disney and there'll be one of those concert series. They had Taylor Dane 2 weeks ago. I could picture myself walking around and I start hearing, I don't know who the Matarazzo that sings that song, but with my luck, I could hear on the stage. And then I look on the stage and I'll see all these Disney characters go, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Fuck you. Ugh. No. Steve Barbie. See, now I forgot his question. Not good. I could rewind. Two-part question. What pay-per-view would I like to see come back or be utilized in the WWE? What would I like to see? Would I like to see the TV title brought back? I wouldn't mind the TV title. As long as it was defended on TV at least every other week. I think it gets boring to have it defended every week. You know, I think after a while it gets really boring really quickly. And you're just asking for title reigns to be short. You know, say what you want about WWE. But if you look back at the last 2-3 years, you have to admit that it's almost shocking that Vince McMahon was on board with such long title reigns. You know, it's not just, you know, like Roman Reigns or the Usos. You think of Mandy Rose, you think of some other title reigns. Very surprised in this day and age, just for shock value and just to pop a rating here and there. Very surprised that Vince McMahon in the 2020s went along with something like that. You know, I mean, back in the day, title changes were at some points. I mean, my God, you remember the WCW streak? There was like a three-week span around 2000 that the WCW title must have been changed hands like 8 times in 2 weeks. I mean, it was just ridiculous how much some of those titles were changed. But the U.S. title, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, the TV title, I wouldn't mind it, but I think it would get boring very quickly. And you don't want to see title reigns only go a couple of weeks. And you're just asking for that. As far as your other question, what concept or form? Look, NXT is gobbling up a lot of them. You got Halloween Havoc. I would love to see that on the main roster. War Games. I would love to see that on the main roster. I think because of the size of the crowd, I think War Games is a little more difficult to do amongst a main audience. Sure, I get it. You could book a giant arena and still pull it off. Absolutely. But I see a lot of those concepts being designated just for NXT. I think probably the one, if it was done the right way, I would love to see King of the Ring brought back, but I would love to see it brought back old school style. You know, not one day tournaments and shit like that. Not even like qualifying matches like they do now. Sometimes you feel like there's more qualifying matches. Look, Bam Bam Bigelow. How many of you remember when Bam Bam Bigelow was in the King of the Ring tournament? He did not win it. He did not win it. He came close, but he did not win it. But the fact that he had to work so hard, you know, to get to the point where he was and the amount of matches you had to win almost in one night, that's a big deal. And I think, you know, someone having to work their ass off and win 3-4 matches in one night, and not by dumb DQs or quick countouts and shit like that, that's what makes it memorable. So I probably would say King of the Ring. Probably say King of the Ring. Looking at Cruiserweight's question from earlier. You know what? I think Thea Hale probably wears Chase University undergarments. Chase University. Mo Words. Do I think Cody's place in the company is at risk since Triple H is in charge? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Cody knows what's best for business, what's best for the Rhodes family. Cody Rhodes is one of the most intelligent men, and not because when he cuts promos, he maybe doesn't use the words that Bob Backlund used back in the day, but Cody Rhodes, you can just tell, is a very, very smart businessman, great with public relations. The amount of work and important work that Cody did for AEW behind the scenes has not been replicated by anyone else. People online don't want to talk about that. They don't want to even waste their time to think about that. But AEW has not been able to replace Cody Rhodes. That is somebody, that is an important asset that you want on your roster. Triple H is not stupid. And again, remember the interview that Vince McMahon did with Pat McAfee. There's something in that interview that is probably the most important thing to think about when you now realize Triple H creatively in charge. Vince McMahon was talking about how, you know, once you become a publicly traded company, you know, you don't think with your heart anymore. You have to think with your mind. You have to think as far as to please investors, shareholders, stockholders. Most important, they're the ones that keep your funding alive. Sure, fans also, revenue, streams, merchandise, buy rates, ticket sales, of course. But the thing is that you're a publicly traded company for a reason. And the thing is that Vince McMahon, he was forced to change how he did business with employees and wrestlers once it became a publicly traded company. And as much as you think that Triple H, by doing this, that means that person's approved and that person will have a good chance to have a good career in WWE, that's not the case. You know, we're going to bring it up tomorrow. WWE released 22 wrestlers from NXT UK. They're changing it to NXT Europe. You see anybody giving a shit about it online? No. Oh, you don't think about the fact, like, could you imagine if Vince McMahon was still in charge and 22 NXT UK wrestlers were released? Do you imagine what would be talked about right now? You know, so you see the disingenuous out there. It's Triple H still cares and will give opportunity, but there is going to be a fine line and you're going to see some people released. And you know what's going to happen? Remember this, when people are released and it's an unpopular decision, they'll blame it on Stephanie. Mark my words, everyone. When some people down the line get released and it's an unpopular decision amongst fans, they will blame Stephanie. Oh, that's a McMahon decision. That's not a Triple H decision. You watch. I already sense that. That's coming. Be prepared. That shit is coming. Blame it on Stephanie. Oh, Triple H is only creative. Triple H doesn't make the firing decisions. That's Stephanie's job. That's Kevin Dunn, that prick bastard. You watch. When someone is rehired, oh, Triple H brought them back. When someone is fired, oh, that's Stephanie that did that. You watch. What's the status of Johnny Gargano toxin? Johnny Gargano right now is home on his computer watching movies with his wife. His kid is asleep. They just finished having dinner. I think his armpits still smell a little bit because of the summertime heat, so he probably will take a shower in a little while. What am I supposed to know? Johnny Gargano, he's still a free agent. A lot of people think that Johnny Gargano will be back in WWE. I think Triple H would love to have him back. I think Stephanie also would love to have him back. And, you know, we talked about it last week. I think Johnny Gargano teaming up with Ciampa would be spectacular. I think DIY on the main roster, why would you not go along with that? Johnny Gargano is spectacular on the mic. He's entertaining as fuck. You know, so I would love to see him back, and I would love to see him reform a tag team with Johnny Gargano, with Ciampa, and reform DIY. I don't know if you would call it DIY, though. I don't know if you would call it DIY, but I could see it. I could definitely see it. I don't see the way reuniting, no. Theory is going to be on his own. And I personally think even if Gargano were to come back, I could see maybe them bumping into each other backstage and Theory just, you know, you're not even in my league anymore. I don't see Theory realigning with anybody. You leave Theory by himself. You know, he's the lone man on a desert island. So, Russ, I heard that rumor that Jeff Jarrett's position may be already done in WWE. I'll look into it. you know, I'll look into it. But it's very interesting if that's the case, don't you think? Oh, let me guess. That was a Stephanie decision, not a Triple H decision. So, Rocky Red. Now that it's been 1 year, what would be my letter grade for CM Punk's run in AEW? Not for AEW, but Punk individually. Well, I don't know if you heard my rant yesterday about the whole situation with CM Punk. I was very happy to hear what Jim Cornette said about the situation, because he actually came more to the defense of CM Punk. You know, we brought it up yesterday, man. Hangman Page, the promo that he cut a couple of months ago before the Punk injury, was to heavily promote the match at the pay-per-view. There was no outrage at that time. There was no rumblings. Everything went according to plan. Punk won the championship, blah, 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 blah. You know, people, you got to remember blurred lines. You're going to see more blurred lines on TV with AEW than ever before. And they think that that's the recipe to start boosting up ratings a little bit. Don't believe a lot of the shit that you're reading online. These are people guessing. Just like Kevin Nash guessing about the Triple H stuff. Think that I'm wrong? I'm going to pull it up and get it ready for everyone out there. So let me just pull this up. All right, Kevin Nash, we just got to do a date search due to last week, Triple H. All right, there's a whole list. I'll click it in a minute. But CM Punk over the last year, I graded an A. Look, let me make this clear. I'm not saying that CM Punk is not an asshole in real life. He is definitely a shit stirrer. He's definitely someone who, I wouldn't say he's the voice of the voiceless anymore. He is the voice of the voice. He is the voice of himself. And, you know, the Brock Lesnar thing was really the one that made me stop and say, okay, this guy wants to put his two cents on everything. So personally, yes, there's a lot about CM Punk that I dislike. I want to make that clear. His rant at Comic-Con made zero sense. He talks about Sasha and Naomi quitting, walking out, and standing up for themselves. And he shit on Michael Cole and WWE for saying that they were unprofessional. And then he brings up Brock Lesnar and he says, why didn't they do that? Moron. I know you could stretch the shit out of me and you could probably beat the living shit out of me. But moron, he didn't fucking quit. He didn't fucking walk out. If he wanted to blow off steam and walk outside the parking lot and then walk back in the building, that is human emotion. He didn't fucking quit. Soon as he fucking didn't quit, he showed up and he did what he was supposed to do on TV. Argument over. But the motherfuckers had to say what he wanted to say, even though it was wrong. And guess what? People jerked him off and wrote about it, talked about it, podcasted about it, put it front page headlines instead of calling him out and saying, Punk, with all due respect, I know you don't like WWE, and I know you don't like management. I know you don't like the decisions, but Brock Lesnar never quit. Nobody that ever talks to CM Punk would ever dare say that to him, whether it's online or to his face. But, you know, so with that said, there's a lot that I don't like about CM Punk, and there's a lot about AEW creative that sucks. But I think under the circumstances for AEW, it's been an A for CM Punk in AEW. I don't think anyone else would have been able to get that kind of attention, that kind of buzz. You advertise events, CM Punk's face is front and center outside of his injury. That is a man who is anti-WWE. I'm not saying that Tony Khan is anti-WWE, but think of Tony Khan, the younger wrestling fan. Ring of Honor, ECW, New Japan, message boards, ripping on creative, ripping on Vince, ripping on Jarrod Laronitis, ripping on the shows, ripping on everything about WWE. CM Punk is Tony Khan's poster child for that company. So what he has done for AEW, it would not have been replicated from Bryan Danielson, has not been replicated by anybody else that they have signed. And I don't know if there's anybody else on the free agent market that could have done that. The 1.3, 1.4 million when he debuted was a lot of fans who haven't seen him in a while that wanted to see what's going on. That's still less than what SmackDown draws. So let's be a little bit realistic here. Even though CM Punk came back to pro wrestling after a 10-year hiatus, still, the majority of wrestling fans still did not tune in on a regular basis. So they were curious. They wanted to see how he looked. They wanted to see if there was a pipe bomb. They wanted to see, you know, what he was going to do. And then once they got their fill, it pretty much went back to what it was before. But for AEW standards, CM Punk has been an A for them. It's been an A. Absolutely. So, Rams fan, can I confirm the rumors? James Pascal was begging Tony Khan for a job. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I will never crap on anybody who's trying to get work with a wrestling company, whether it's a podcaster, a fan, a journalist. You know, if people are honest and they say that this is what they would love to do if given the opportunity, it's the ones who say that they don't, but they do, and they just, you know, won't reveal it. Those are the people I don't have respect for. Because if you tell me, look, I want to go and get it. This is my goal. I want to do this. I don't care if it's WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling. I don't care who it is. If you have the confidence and the strength to tell people, yeah, this is what I want to do, I would love to have the opportunity. I respect that because you want to do it. Maybe you don't get the opportunity, but at least you tried. It's always better. That's why, look, I look at stuff that I have not done over the years and I kick myself in the ass. I should have taken some opportunities that I let go, but hindsight is 20/20. So anybody out there, if you want to even get a job as a street team, even if you're willing to work for free, and I know that sounds ridiculous to a lot of people out there, but trust me, it was not that long ago that women in wrestling would wrestle a lot of indie shows for free. I have worked shows and watched women kill themselves in, not physically kill themselves, but work their asses off in the ring for $20, sometimes for nothing, because they just wanted the opportunity. It's not ancient times. That's within the last 15 years. And trust me, on some cards right now, some women are only getting $50 to wrestle a show. You know, it is what it is. So anyone out there trying to get a job, good for you, man. Never hide it. Never hide it. I would never hide that. So, and Mike is asking, before we answer Cruiserweight, Mike is asking, would I ever do it? As long as it allowed me to work my regular job, you know, I would do some work on the side. Absolutely. I would do it in a heartbeat. If I could contribute in some ways, yeah, I would do it with any company, you know, but I have to have a balance, because if that opportunity dries up and I'm left with nothing, you know, what am I going to do? You know, so I got to be able to keep my current career as well. Crazy Cruiserweight, do I still get along with my neighbor from upstairs? And thank you for the 5-spot, my friend. Yeah, I do. I do. I'll tell you all a very quick story. You'll find this funny. I promise you, even if you're new to the show, you'll find this funny. I've been doing this 25 years. And back in the day, I used to be very, very loud. I would do Aflac impersonations at 2 o'clock in the morning. I would scream at the top of my lungs. I would play clips, audio when I was doing it. I used to do shit like you wouldn't believe. So I've been doing this for a long time. I've been in my place here since 1999. So anyway, long story short, about 10 years ago, I would say, I started noticing something with a guy that lives upstairs from me. He's an older man, but about 10 years ago, I would be walking to my car and I'd see him walk by and I'd say, hey, good morning. And he would just look the other way. I'd be like, what the fuck did I do to you? And I thought maybe he was just hard of hearing. one time I saw him again. I said hello to him. He looked at my face, and he didn't say nothing. I was like, the fuck? Then, just to summarize this, one time, because he lives upstairs, and one time he's walking into the building. There's only four units here. It's a four-family house. He walks into the building, and as he's closing the door, I had a couple of bags of grocery, and I said, oh, I'm right behind you. I expected him to hold the door open. He closed the fucking door in my face. Now, the guy is older than me, and I'm not going to say anything to his face, but I was like, wow, what a dick. I told my fiance about 10 years ago, I said, watch this. We were walking to our car one time. I said, hey, how's it going? And he just ignored me. She's like, what the fuck's wrong with him? I said, I have no idea. So I asked my maintenance guy. He has no idea. So finally, I said to myself, fuck it. I saw him walking by one day, and I just went like this to him. I said, can I ask you a question? He says, yeah, sure. I said, you mad at me about something? And he says, well, yeah, but, you know, there's really nothing I could do about it. And I said, what did I do? He says, every Monday night, I can't sleep because you're screaming at the top of your lungs right below my bedroom, and I can't sleep. I turn the TV up. I try to sleep in my living room. And I said, holy shit. I said, I am so sorry. He says, I hear every word. He says, I hear every little thing that you say. The walls are that thin. And I realized I used to do my shows in my bedroom because it was audio. It was in video. So I'm laying in my bed. I'm doing my shows. I didn't realize that he could hear everything right above me. So I went up into his house. I turned my show on. I played a recap of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. And I put the volume up to the level that I would talk. I went upstairs in his house and I hear, you know, let's talk about the dopey cunt comment of the week. And I'm like, oh my God. This motherfucker heard everything. He didn't just hear. He heard everything clear as day. And he heard this for like 7 years. And I said, why didn't you say anything? He says, because you're not doing anything wrong. He says, what can I do? And I felt bad. So I got him a whole bunch of bottles of wine. I moved my show into this room, which is supposed to be a separate bedroom. I put some foam pads on the ceiling. I put some tiles. Some of them have fallen off. But after I did that, I went back upstairs and I played the clip here and he couldn't hear nothing. So that is the truth. That is the God honest truth. For 7 years, every Monday night, I put this man in a living room. Now he walks with a cane. Now he walks like he's crippled. Now he's like half shot. And once in a while, my fiance said to me, she said, you drove him to his early grave. Think about all those years that he couldn't sleep. One day a week, he couldn't sleep. That you kept him up till 4 o'clock in the morning. You fucked him up. And I'm like, that's messed up, man. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, did I actually like kill this guy's life? All right. Charlie Conway, my thoughts on Gary Busey. I don't know, man. He's what, 80? He apparently like sexually harassed someone. I don't know what to think. The details, as far as I know, have not come out yet. I'm not going to jump the gun, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot of things that I dealt with when I was young, people today would call ultimate bullying. I didn't look at it as bullying. I looked at it as some people I hung out with that were just a bunch of dicks. You know, a lot of things you did back in the day, you know, I mean, I talked about it when I was in kindergarten, first grade. You pull a little girl's pigtail. You know, you got a little crush on a girl. You're in kindergarten too. Let me make this clear. You're in kindergarten, first grade, and there's a girl and you kind of got a crush. You get her attention. You kind of like pull her pigtail and you run away. You do that now, you get suspended for 2 weeks. So the way things are handled today, it's a little bit different. I'm not saying that you should, you know, hit on anybody, but sometimes you hit on somebody today, give a compliment, you know, think that somebody might be receptive of it, and you're immediately accused of sexual harassment. So, you know, I don't know what he did or what he said. The guy is 80, so I don't know who he thought he was going to be able to have fun with. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe he thought he was Vince. He's like, hey, maybe I have a shot. I don't know. But I want to wait and get the facts first. Yes, thank you, everyone, for hanging out tonight. I hope everybody's having a great time. So, again, if you want me to answer a question in the chat, write the word question before your question. If you have a comment, write comment. That's fine. And for my friends who are in green or in blue or Super Chat, obviously, they get a little VIP treatment first. Oh, let's talk about Kevin Nash. I have the clip up. I'm looking at the menus. All right, let's click on this. Okay, let me go back to this earlier, and I definitely have something to say about this. All right, who sent this to me early? Giuseppe sent this. What's my take on Kevin Nash saying that WWE tried to dismantle what Triple H built while he was sick? All right. I have addressed this countless times over the last 2 years. You know, people acting like, oh, Triple H was being treated like a clown. They were erasing his legacy. That, you know, he was on the outs with WWE. Oh, he's going to be all elite. Maybe he could start his own wrestling company with Shane McMahon. That everything he built with NXT was being dismantled. And yet, Triple H went to Stephen A. Smith. Triple H went to Ariel Helwani and talked about how the turnaround, that if you cannot produce or if you don't produce, it doesn't mean that Vince McMahon has to go along with everything that Triple H's vision. You know, somebody in the minor league baseball system, let me put it like this. How many of you that are old school Mets fans like me, how many of you would know that some of your best pitchers played in the outfield, started their baseball career in the outfield? I think, I don't remember if Ron Darling, because it was his birthday recently, I don't remember if he was an infielder or an outfielder, but I do know that some pitchers back in the day started their career in the outfield. And then ultimately, someone else saw that they would be better used as a pitcher. Now, sometimes that works and sometimes that fails. My point is this. Triple H brought people to NXT and they can't even break a million viewers in AEW. So does a billion-dollar publicly traded company force the promotion of some people who have a much smaller overall audience is into, but for the larger picture, they don't feel, you know, remember, WWE is supposed to be the main event. It's supposed to be the creme de la creme. It's supposed to be where the top of the game, not just the wrestling ability, not just the ones that could have five-star matches, but the ones that connect with the WWE audience. You might not like that the WWE audience connects with someone that may not be that great of a wrestler, but if that person the fans want to see, whether they don't pay just to see that person, but they pay because they want to see that person along with others, that's what pro wrestling is all about. It's not solely based on what you can do in the ring, how many star matches you can have. There's an overall picture. It's sports entertainment. Triple H allowed the term wrestling to come back. It's still sports fucking entertainment. So when Kevin Nash makes this opinion, he has every right to do it. But it's an opinion. It's not a fact. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. Kevin Nash, when he did his interview, he said this to Greg Oliver. This is his quote. Triple H has got an eye for talent. Look at the people that he's kind of handpicked and pushed up the WWE product on Raw. Every time one of them went up there, it was like, man, how quick can we dismantle what got him over and fuck this dude up? It was just like when he got sick and he had the heart episode. They couldn't fucking get down there and dismantle what he built in NXT quick enough. I don't know. That was fucked up, man. That is an opinion on Kevin Nash's part. That is Kevin Nash caring about one of his best friends in pro wrestling. Kevin Nash feels that WWE did him wrong and erased a lot of what he built. And sure, he has a right to his opinion. But just because Kevin Nash gives that opinion and 99 others do not, doesn't suddenly make it fact. And here's where I prove it. Here's the comment that people are leaving out when they bring this up. Greg Oliver asked, you know, wanted to know, you know, anybody told Kevin Nash this. Kevin Nash revealed, here's his exact quote. "I don't fucking know, man. I asked Sean about it, and he was just like, Sean is so changed. He's just not a shit stirrer anymore. He does his job, he does it well, and he does the best he can and go to his family." He tried to confirm this with Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels would not budge. Shawn Michaels would not confirm to Kevin Nash that WWE intentionally tried to ruin Triple H's legacy. That is a friend looking out for a friend. Kevin Nash has every right to do that. But if it was fact, period, what do you need to go to Shawn Michaels for? And Shawn Michaels did not give that answer. So what are you going to say now? Oh, Shawn Michaels is a corporate guy? Shawn Michaels sold out to Vince McMahon? Shawn Michaels sold out to WWE? The fuck do you think Triple H has been doing for the last decade and a half? I mean, there's no different. There's no different. You know, look, some people, you know, you see somebody you care about, you feel they're being done dirty in a relationship, and you feel, man, this person's being treated like shit. Maybe they are, and maybe they're not. Maybe you're just looking out for your friend. So Kevin Nash has every right to say that. I will not take that away from Kevin Nash, but that's his opinion. That is just not a fact. And just because he has the same opinion as maybe some of you may have out there, doesn't make it fact. Doesn't make it fact. And again, when people bring that up, they conveniently leave out that he tried to confirm it with Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels would not confirm that. So this is speculation on Kevin Nash's part. So that I wanted to point out there. All right. Thank you very much, Booba. Booba, the five spot, my friend. Do I think we'll ever get a Solid Monster Forbidden Door again? Also, did I like that Hit Row concert? He hated it. It could have done what he could have done without it. Much love, my friend. Yesterday on the Don Tony Show, still a little self-plug, and I go like this on YouTube. You could click a link and check it out. I debuted a segment that a few of you have asked me for in recent weeks, and I started it. Now, every Saturday, I will give you my favorite moment of the week in wrestling and my least favorite moment. My favorite moment was a tie. Kenny Omega returning and Montreal's reaction to Sami Zayn. Loved it. Yes, hometown hero, but still. My least favorite moment of the week was Hit Row, the concert. And I talked about it yesterday, and I am a huge fan of Hit Row. I supported them when they got promoted to the main roster. I supported them when they got released. I own some of their merch. I bought that merch before they got released. I'm a fan of Hit Row. But I will tell you, even though I'm this generic white guy from Queens, New York, and yeah, I probably don't know shit about the hip-hop culture, but I could tell you as far as vibe goes, and you got to know your audience. And the thing is, Hit Row are baby faces. And coming out there and sounding angry and almost militant, that is not your everyday WWE wrestling fan, period. I don't care how good you think you sounded. I don't think on how great you thought they rhymed. I don't think if they were making a statement, that's all cool and dandy. Those fans that were there just to be entertained for a couple of hours. And like I said, unfortunately, the WWE Universe, they're not going to turn into suddenly this, you know, college demographic that some people think that AEW is. It's not going to suddenly, the kids are going to go away. Unfortunately, for a lot of those fans, they want happy, easy, you know, not stuff that just sounds angry and militant. If Hit Row are heels and they do that, that's different. But that rap, yes, on Friday was a mistake, in my opinion. If I was WWE again, unless they're turning heel, don't do that again. It's not going to get over with it. You think suddenly that the WWE Universe is going to start going like, yeah, yeah, rowy, rowy, hit the knowy, knowy, they sound like they were angry. They should be angry. They got treated like shit for the last year. But no, no. that rap performance, as much as I'm fans of theirs, that rap performance did not click with the majority of the WWE universe. I went, while I was moderating the watch party, I went on social media and I did a search in real time, and I could say about 80 to 85% of the responses were all negative. Were all negative. And I think some people out there are afraid to comment about it because they'll be labeled as a hater or, you know, even worse. We don't need to go there, but, you know, people are very afraid sometimes to criticize, you know, certain individuals, you know, because they're afraid of being accused. Look, you see, look at the stuff that's going on with Effie. Is that who it is? Effie and John Moxley? Was that the incident? I don't want to get into it here. But look at what's going on. And, you know, right away, because some people are really criticizing Effie in all of this, they're being labeled as, you know, I don't need to go there. You know what I'm talking about. Anti-gay, anti-this, anti-that. How's about, man, I just didn't like the segment. You know, it's just, it's fucked up, man. So the Hit Row thing, didn't like it at all. Didn't like it at all. Kevin Milwaukee, even though you didn't write the word question before you question. On Pat McAfee's show a few days ago, he showed this announcer when the Dodgers were in town to play the Brewers. He went down Bernie's slide way too fast. He broke his arm and three ribs. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, Pat McAfee broke his arm and three ribs? Is that legit? Did it really happen? I didn't see him holding any. I would have thought I would have seen posts everywhere. Did he get hurt or did someone else get hurt? I want to know. I'm a little curious. Yeah, let me know. Chat room. Oh, an announcer did on the show. All right. So, fuck the announcer. Shouldn't have been. What baseball announcer did it? I mean, you know, best wishes go out to him, but I don't know. All right, let's start. We're already in an hour. So I know we said we were going to go about an hour, but we'll go 90 minutes. No more than that. We got a crazy night ahead still, and I got to prepare for tomorrow. And remember, next weekend, you know, we got Clash at the Castle. I will obviously be a little busy that night. And then the day after, we have the all-out pay-per-view. I'm probably still going to be recovering from there. So I will definitely be doing a show on Monday, September 5th. So you will definitely have me back here on Monday, September 5th, which will be Labor Day. But, you know, there's a lot of shit going down. So, all right. All right. Will CM Punk ever mellow out, get over his Punk menstrual syndrome? No, Benjamin. CM Punk will always be CM Punk. Did you all see what he wrote yesterday about his one-year anniversary? I'm going to bring it up tomorrow on the show. I don't have the screenshot here. Sounded awfully happy. Kind of went against this vibe that people are painting online that he almost quit AEW. Remember what I said yesterday. Yesterday's show is getting a really good response. Got some really good emails already for the next mailbag. I think people are seeing right through some of what's being claimed online. The CM Punk reflection of 1 year in AEW yesterday was far different what people were claiming, that he almost no-showed AEW Dynamite, almost quit AEW. That's the MJF template, my friends. As I wrote yesterday on the audio side of everything, that's the MJF template. Just take MJF's name out of it and put CM Punk's name in it again. They realized how much attention they got off the MJF shit. Hey, let's do it with CM Punk also. That is really risky, though, because CM Punk, on occasion, will call out people online. So you got to be a little bit careful how you tread water with the CM Punk situation, because he calls your shit out. Even if you are convinced that is otherwise, you got trouble, man. Punk called it his best year. You know what, Soulfly? It might be his best year emotionally. Yeah, I think I couldn't argue with that. You know, remember, mental health is very important. It is very important. And some people who have left WWE did not just leave WWE because they hate Vince or they hate the creative or they hate this. Some people left because they need a better balance. You know, in this day and age, you know, I know a lot of people call people snowflakes. I don't think everybody is a snowflake out there. But obviously, this day and age, it's a lot rougher for a lot of people out there. And, you know, it's not material things that just make you happy. Look at the trouble that Lana got in a few days ago. Somebody wrote on social media that they were homeless. And I don't remember the exact exchange, but Lana said something to the person like, well, at least you got an iPhone. Now, I know the point Lana was trying to make. And, you know, me, I think back 15, 20 years, and if I was facing homelessness, I would put on eBay anything I had of value that is not an absolute necessity. I personally think a telephone is a necessity in this day and age. Maybe I don't need an iPhone. Maybe I just need a $20 prepaid phone. Maybe I have to bite the bullet and downsize. Some people out there, they're homeless, and you see they got an iWatch on, and they got an iPhone, and they got earbuds, iBuds, and all this stuff. And you see them with all these things, and I'm like, you know, at least make an attempt. If you want to keep one, fine. But when you got three, four different really expensive items and you're crying homelessness, maybe the reason why you're homeless is because you spent too much money on shit than paying fucking bills and other things out there. You know, I always talked about my dad, and yes, this is the 70s and the 80s, but my dad, growing up in my household, we didn't go on vacation until 1986. And I'm already in my mid-20s. And up until 1986, the only other time that we almost went away, we went to Wildwood, New Jersey, the weekend that Elvis died. If any of you remember the picture of me wearing the Mets shirt, that's the only other time we ever went away. One time we were going to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, but it got rained out and we had to turn around and go back home. My father couldn't afford to take us anywhere. So my father, for 27 years, the best he could do to put us on vacation was drive to Wildwood, New Jersey one time for 3 days. That's it. So, you know, people have to sacrifice. I don't compare then to now because now it's a lot different. You know, it's a lot of different environment. You really do need a phone to survive in this day and age, the way communications are. You can't just snail mail shit anymore. But, you know, when you see people having a lot of different toys, and then they're facing this, this, and that. Yeah, you need $500 that bad? Here, give me your iBuds. And give me your watch as well. You still got your phone. When you get yourself back on your feet, you know, I'll sell it back to you. You know, you don't need five different things. It's a little bit different. But in this day and age, the mental health is a lot more serious as well because of COVID, because of social unrest, because of expenses, because of the economy, which is similar, you know, because of the unrest. There's a lot of reasons. So some people just want that balance, feeling good. You know, I may not have what I had before. I may not be paid what I was paid before. I may not even do what I did before, but I'm happy. And happiness, I think, is the most important thing. So when CM Punk says that this is his best year, I think he's talking more mentally than anything else. Let me tell you something. Mental health will also make you physically feel better, too. Depression will keep you in bed. Trust me. Been there, done it. Depression will put 50 pounds on you like this. Been there, done it. Depression will make you make an excuse for every reason to get out of doing things. Been there, done it. You know, it's not fun. So, you know, it's a very important part. I don't think, yeah, and for all of you out there, never feel embarrassed to admit that. Never feel embarrassed to admit it. I mean, I've showed pictures of me at 370 pounds. I still got a long way to go. That was not that long ago. You know, and that was because food was my favorite friend. My food never talked back at me. Food never, you know, cursed me out. Food never asked for anything. You know, food was my best friend for a while. Punk will always be angry, you know, having problems and speaking his mind. Tony Khan knew that when they signed him. But again, Tony Khan also made sure to address the Colt Cabana situation before CM Punk signed. Everybody leaves that out. They conveniently leave that out because then they're forced to say, wait a minute, shouldn't this been resolved before Punk even signed with AEW? Don't buy into everything you read. People are just more concerned about read my stuff, buy my stuff, see what I have to say. I make sense, and everything else you read is bullshit. Use common sense, and you can figure half this stuff. That's the whole meaning behind sausage. Remember that. CM Punk is a resentful man. See, there's a lot of things. Look, there's a lot of people out there that are resentful for a lot of reasons. How many shows, not even wrestling related, how many shows do you go on YouTube and all people are doing is criticizing, putting people down, knocking things, ripping things? Three quarters of their titles are all negative stuff. Always negative, 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 negative. You know, there is an audience for that, a big audience for that. I got news for you. You know, when people bring up my work 15 years ago, you know, back in the days, even when, you know, everything up until the point with August 1st warning, I mean, for years and years and years, I had the number one wrestling show out there. And I go back and I check out some of those episodes, and the first thing I say to myself is not, wow, it was much more vulgar, or, wow, you know, I said a lot of, you know, questionable stuff at that time. The first impression I get listening back to my old shit is, wow, I complained a lot. I ripped a lot of shit. You know, there was, for everything I complimented, there was four or five things that I criticized. I don't think wrestling was that bad 15 years ago. So, you know, I realize, I wonder if a lot of my audience back then was because I criticized so much shit. Could have. Pat, I know you single out JD, but it's not just JD, and JD wants to see things better. The reason why I can't criticize JD is because the difference between JD and a lot of others out there, and always remember this, even if you don't like JD, you have to admit this. And I'm not just saying this because I consider him a friend, but I really mean this sincerely. You know, he criticizes a lot of things, but he gives his opinion on what the solution will be. It's very easy to say, this sucks, that was horrible, that was pathetic, that sucks, this person should be fired, why is this person getting this, that sucks. And then people call it a night. Yeah, you told them. Yeah, that sucked. 90% of those people out there never offer you solutions on, okay, how does it, you make it not suck? And some people, oh, you fired John Laurinaitis. No, that's not how you not make it suck. How do you, and that's where the difficulty comes in. And he offers solutions. Maybe you don't agree with his solutions, but if you're going to criticize something and you feel something should be better, then say how it should be better. When I used to talk about stuff with politics, you know, I always would give my opinions on how I think something should be better. So if you're going to criticize something, be prepared to try to come up with a solution as well. You don't have to come up with a real deep, hardcore solution. We don't get paid for that. WWE or any other company, you know, want to pay me a little bit to give some solutions, I will. You know, but we've addressed a lot of things. We talked about the rankings with AEW. We talked about certain wrestlers, but we always came up with solutions. And look how quickly AEW changed their rankings thing. I honestly, looking back, I think we definitely played a role in that. I'm not kidding. I'm not one of these goofs that actually is going to think, oh, they're tuning in, paying attention. I know some people do. I get DMs. But, you know, Tony Khan realized, wait, we can have so-and-so defend their championship against so-and-so, even if they're not ranked in the top five. Why have someone win 15 elevation matches just so you could get that one match on Dynamite or Rampage? Just throw the fucking match out there. throw it out there. Madison Rain deserve a shot against Jade Cargill? No. But, you know, it was just a match to give Jade Cargill, a win against an established person. You know, Madison Rain is now hired. You don't need to wait for Madison Rain to beat 15 people on Dark. Oh, she comes in at 15-0. You don't need that. This is pro wrestling. It's sports entertainment. You notice AEW is not focusing on stats as much now when they want to have something go down on TV. That is one of the best things Tony Khan has done. Everybody talks about the negative that Tony Khan has done in 2022. One of the best things Tony Khan has done in 2022 is fuck the ranking system. You want to go forth with a match? Do it. Do it. You remember Jericho? Was it against Jungle Boy? Guys, help me out on this one. Was it Jericho versus Jungle Boy? Jericho was the champion at the time. And they were going to have Jungle Boy face him. And people online had their balls in a bunch. Why are you giving a guy that has an 0-12 record or something like that getting a title shot? I think it was him versus Jungle Boy. That night helped Jungle Boy's career. Like you wouldn't believe at that time. December 2019. Thank you very much, LeDude. I will never forget that time. Right away, people ran to the stats. Why is he getting an opportunity? Why is he getting an opportunity? Because we think Jungle Boy is a future star, and we want to give him. And remember the storyline that I thought Chris Jericho should have done, the Rocky storyline. Remember Rocky 1 when Apollo Creed was looking for a nobody to beat on Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving! You know, the ultimate opportunity, giving thanks. You want to give back. And Apollo Creed says, you know, we'll take this jabroni from Philadelphia by the name of Rocky Balboa. Hey, yo. Hey, how you doing? Hey, suck my. Hey, how you doing? And what happened? He fucking got pushed to the limit in Rocky One. And Apollo Creed, after the match, even though he kept his title, he says, there'll be no rematch. That should have been the storyline for Chris Jericho versus Jungle Boy at that time. If I would have changed anything, that's what should have story. That would have shut everybody up online as well. But everybody ran to the stats and is like, what is he getting the shot for? He didn't earn it. That should have been Tony Khan's wake-up call in 2019. All right, we got to tweak this right now. But they didn't. They waited and waited and waited. And that infamous moment where Jay Lethal was ranked number 3, and we dissected that, those ranking systems went bye-bye. So that is a good thing that Tony Khan has done in 2022. In fact, that might have been the best thing he has done in 2022. All right. We got about 15 minutes left. Let's make it good, everyone. Tristan Sloan, thank you very much for the kind words, my friend. I just try to keep it real, down to earth. You know, I know that there's some people with better style, better substance, but I think that there's still an audience out there that want to be, you know, talked to and, you know, looked at. You know, I try to talk to everyone like you're my friends. It's always been my mantra since 97. I try to be like we're all hanging out. Maybe having a drink or something, maybe just hanging out, you know, nice night out, barbecue, whatever, just talking about wrestling. Yes, I know I have the mouthpiece and you don't. You have it through the text. I get it. But, you know, I know we could be more animated. We could be more controversial. We could call shit out. But, you know, I think that gets into a really, really tricky territory because then, you know, like we talked about yesterday with the CM Punk stuff. Do you want to be honest with your audience or do you want to say what you think will get you the biggest audience? That is two totally different things. You know, I will never sacrifice not telling you how I truthfully feel about something just to get an extra few thousand people to tune in. No way. Rams fan is asking, have I ever seen green-haired or blonde Walter Gunther picks? I've seen some old school Gunther picks. Everybody starts off, you know, with a different look. I mean, my God, no joke, of all the wrestlers that are still alive today, the one wrestler that I look at their original hairstyle and I just can't picture them with that hairstyle is Triple H. When you look at Triple H, even before he went to WCW, if you look at Triple H when he first got into wrestling, I look at those photos and I swear to myself, that motherfucker's wearing a wig. I feel like he went to maybe Austin Idol. Was it Austin Idol? I don't know. It wasn't Austin Idol. It was, who's the other guy? Shit, drawing a blank. That used to wear like, damn it, somebody will remember. Used to wear the makeup with his valet. He's still with us, thank God. Not Austin Idol, shit. So he used to have a store also back in the 80s. Anybody remember what I'm talking about? Someone over, there's like an 8 second delay. So my, listen, everybody who tunes in are the smartest people. Hey, thank you, Guardian Chaos. Exotic Adrian Street. You look at Triple H when he first broke into wrestling, and you look at those infamous pictures with that bouffant on his head. I swear to God, I think he went to Exotic Adrian Street store back in the 80s. I think he sold records. Maybe he sold some wigs and put it on. It doesn't look like a natural head of hair. I honestly think even if I had the same genes as Triple H and I could grow the hair like he used to have it, I don't think even if we went back in time, if we quantum leaped back to the 80s, I don't think I could get my hair like that. It looks fake. I've seen outdated hairstyles. It looks fake. You got to look at the old Triple H photos when he first broke into wrestling. His hair looks fake. That's how bad it is. I don't ever use the word fake. His hair looked fake. Gruss, with another CM Punk, what if the whole CM Punk situation is a work? What effect will that have in AEW? Tune into yesterday's show. We talked for almost 50 minutes about it. A lot of the CM Punk stuff on TV is blurring the lines. Tony Khan, after 1 year of Punk, after the ratings being stuck in the mud, you know, just because you're in the top five for the night, based on whatever demo you want to go with, doesn't mean you have growth, all right? Maybe you have the same buy rate as before, and maybe you have the same ratings as before, but your payroll is 10 times the amount it was before. And remember what I said. You want to spend $100 to make $1,000. You don't want to spend $1,000 to make $1,000. And next year, you don't want to spend $10,000 to make $1,000. By now, if you're going to invest that much money, it should produce an increase very substantial to reflect what you invested. And with AEW not being a publicly traded company, you will never get those answers. You will never get a genuine answer from anybody because it's none of our business. Anybody in the wrestling reporting world, if they claim to tell you they know how much AEW made and how much AEW paid out, they are lying to you. Unless they broke into AEW's offices in the middle of the night, got access to their bank records. I don't know. Maybe they used one of these Indian scammers overseas. You know, open up your, go to Oni test or whatever that, open up your bank account. Give me the account number. You know, these people cannot tell you. We will never know. But you look at it, blurring the lines is what Tony Khan thinks will bring AEW to the next level. Look at the quarter hour ratings from this week. Suddenly people, in all of the time that AEW has been on TV, this week was the worst week where people would be like, DT, they were over a million in the quarter hour with Punk. They were over a million in the quarter hour with Moxley. Same quarter hour. Don't fucking cherry pick quarter hours because there's been plenty quarter hours where Punk was in the eights and Moxley was in the eights. See, people, this is the next step. When Impact Wrestling's ratings were getting so horrible, they stopped reporting 0.8, 0.6, 0.9, 0.4, 0.3. I bring this up all the time. Impact Wrestling in wrestling was where it changed, where we no longer got 0.5. Now we got 377,000 viewers. because it just sounded better. So now with AEW, oh, 18 to 49 demographic was number one, even though they only had 900,000 viewers. So now it's, well, the quarter hour did a million. So what are you saying? Talking segments are getting better ratings than wrestling? Is that what you want? Do you want AEW to focus more on promos and pull-aparts? I mean, be careful what you wish for. You start cherry-picking that shit, and you start going, you see how much smaller the AEW women's division gets. When you're forced to confront those quarter-hour ratings, and be like, why did this women's match only get... And then you got Britt Baker and others telling wrestling fans out there, you want to support women's wrestling? You must tune into our stuff. No, we don't must have to do anything. If women's wrestling in AEW does not pop a great rating, something's wrong. Or women's wrestling is just not as widely popular in AEW as other companies. You know, you cannot force people to do anything. You start cherry picking stuff to try to find, there's nothing wrong with trying to find good in anything. But when you start cherry picking now quarter hours, you're running into some major problems. So I will not use work shoot because I'm not a wrestler. And a lot of wrestlers don't like when people in wrestling that are not in wrestling using work shoot. I will use blurred lines. CM Punk, MJF, Hangman Page, Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston, when he's cutting a promo in the back, hey, you know, do I get to talk here? Hey, don't turn that off. Yeah, I tell you, making it seem like Eddie Kingston is going against the grain and is cutting a promo behind backstage when he's not supposed to be cutting a promo that time. We all know what he's doing. Blurred lines is what you're going to see more in AEW television. When you see these goofs out there, it was a work before it was a shoot. It was a work turned into a shoot that went back to a work, but it's now a shoot again. Shut up. Shut up. Seriously. It's none of my business if Eddie Kingston and Ruby Soho are an item. I could care less, Charlie, about Trump's presidential records. Kevin Milwaukee says Satnam Singh is going to have this world's slowest buildup in wrestling history. That's what AEW is about with a lot of people out there. You know, look, this guy doesn't have a wrestling background, really. So they're starting with scratch. You know, he doesn't have to become this AEW superstar in 2 years. Maybe they should have kept him behind the scenes a little bit longer. But now he's out there. I don't think Satnam Singh has done a bad job. You know, I'm not interested in seeing, you know, him right now. I could care less. But maybe one day I do care. You know, Omos, you know, they brought out there, they felt he was ready. I miss Omos when they were doing Raw Underground. When he was standing next to Shane McMahon. That was my favorite version of Omos. I could care less about the Trump Florida search, Charlie. I could care less about politics right now. Right now I care about getting married, getting laid, going on vacation, giving everybody a good show, you know, not having such horrible health issues, having fun, being happy, make a couple of dollars along the way, and that's it. And spending time with my family. All right, we got 5 minutes left. Your last chance if you have anything you want me to discuss this week. Eddie K, thank you for the $2 spot, my friend. DT Sign returns this week. Yes, yes. HB to the WWE Thunderdome. Yeah, remember Thunderdome? I enjoyed Thunderdome. Listen, look, nothing replaces live fans, period. But you look back at Thunderdome. I mean, the last visual you see on Thunderdome was what? Rhea Ripley pinning Charlotte? And I was behind the Raw desk the entire show. Do you remember the week before? See, a lot of people forget. And obviously, you know, some people that hate my guts definitely forget. But the week before, somebody in WWE said to me, make sure you watch Raw next week. Remember that? And I said, gee, I wonder what they're going to do. and they took the footage. And I was behind the announcer's desk with Deli Man holding the salami. Remember all that? And then for some reason, right when they had the last ever match on Thunderdome, right smack in the center camera, front row, they put Deli Man as Rhea Ripley is getting the pin. For one match, the 99% of the show, you see me behind the announcers. And at the very last 5 minutes of that show, they put me front and center. And I thought it was so fucking cool. It made me feel like a kid again as a young wrestling fan. You know, just putting Deli Man front row. And I couldn't believe how many people that got angry. You know, I posted online and, you know, like people, I think, would just interpret it like, you know, like, fuck you. You know, I'm like, man, I just put a smile on my face and people hated it. So, but thank you again, Eddie. Looking forward to that. The Ring General of Titantron, thank you for the two spot. Congrats on 25 years. Thank you. I appreciate that more than you know. I didn't realize this week was the 4-year anniversary that we had that infamous cosplay on NXT TV of Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. I will never forget that night tuning in, and I was laying in bed with my fiance watching NXT, and I was looking down. I look up, I look down again, and I looked up like this again, and I'm like, and I literally got up out of bed and walked up to my TV and looked closely, and I'm like, you got to see this. And oh, that was amazing. That was amazing. So, Steve Barbie, what news on Bobby Fulton? That's new for me. I haven't heard anything about Bobby Fulton. But, you know, it's things like that that keep me going, man. People just enjoy this. Keeps me going. Thank you for that. T. Smitty, 3,000 with the 5-spot. He watched Kenny Omega on Dynamite, and it got him thinking how cool it would be if he had one WrestleMania match. Would love to see him on that. I think you will see Kenny Omega in WWE. I think Tony Khan may have to overpay Kenny Omega, especially working behind the scenes to keep him. We got to wait and see if Tony Khan tries to pay people not to leave to go to WWE. I think Kenny Omega is not stupid. I think he knows, I think he would follow similar path of AJ Styles. AJ Styles, I never in a million years ever thought that he would go to WWE, and I never thought he would succeed the way he has. AJ Styles has turned into one of the best WWE superstars we have had in the last 10 years. And I think Kenny Omega ultimately will follow that path like Finn Balor has and others. And I think Kenny Omega at some point will be in WWE. He definitely could pull the sports entertainer stuff off. And I'm very curious to see how many people rip Kenny Omega simply for going to WWE. AJ Styles has had some of the greatest matches we have seen in the last 20 years. And when he went to WWE, obviously he had to water it down a little bit. And I think that's one of the reasons why AJ Styles still wrestles today. So Kenny Omega, you know, you will see him pulled back a little bit so his career lasts longer. So, yeah, I would love to see him even for a cup of coffee in WWE. Sure, anything is possible. Anything is possible. I'm still waiting on Bobby Fulton stuff. I don't see anything here. I don't see anything here. So, People's Champ. Do I think AJ Styles is a racist, like CM Punk had said? I don't have any evidence of it. Look, if CM Punk was black making that claim, I might put a little more merit into it. I don't see anybody in the black community calling out AJ Styles for being a racist. So I have no evidence of it, so I can't comment about that. Just my honest take on it. I don't see anybody accusing him of being a racist. And I personally think if there was some merit behind it, I think probably people would keep reminding us every time he was on TV, look at the racist that WWE's put. You would see that every single week, and we don't see that. Twix, I am looking forward to seeing Trish Stratus on Raw. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting what interaction she has with Bayley. I expect a little bit of it. Will she lay out Dakota Kai or Io Sky. I want to see what Trish does on Raw tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. So still nothing about Bobby Fulton. Now my curiosity has peaked. So we may have to go off the air with no Bobby Fulton stuff because nobody is saying anything. Kevin Milwaukee says that MJF and Tony Khan are playing a game of chicken, trying to outstubborn one another. That's how you feel. You know, that's how you feel. I said blurred lines. I'm not going to, you know, keep saying it every week, but Tony Khan never addressing the MJF situation is very revealing. It makes Tony Khan look like a weak owner, or he did not know creatively how he could explain this publicly without people accusing him of lying to fans or lying to wrestlers. That's Tony Khan in a very short summary with MJF. Tony Khan does not want to be accused of lying to the fans or lying to wrestlers. So Tony Khan has chosen to be silent about it, and that is not what you do as an owner if this was a legit situation. So he'd rather just keep his mouth shut and just sit it out and hope that when MJF comes back, people forget of how little Tony Khan spoke about the situation. That is the story with MJF. When you look back at this MJF situation, if he returns to AEW, forget all that shit online that people are going to say, oh no, it was a shoot that turned into a work. No. The story is MJF was always coming back. Tony Khan never wants to be accused of lying to the fans or lying to the wrestlers. So Tony Khan chose to keep silent about it. And if MJF truly walked out on the wrestlers, on AEW, on the fans, and Tony Khan sat back and didn't do anything about it, it sends an awful message to the roster. And he kept his mouth shut. So when he comes back and you look back on this, there is no shoot, work, shoot, this, that. No. Tony Khan creatively cannot figure out how the fuck do I talk about this publicly without coming off as lying to people. That's it. That's it. And I promise you, I'm looking at this now. We're at 90 minutes, so we're going to be finishing now. But I will go back to this episode and cut this little piece out, and I'll keep reminding everyone every few months. That guy comes back to TV, and everybody forgets and say, oh, this is the greatest angle of all time. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's epic. I got goosebumps. I'm shaking. And it's not because I got the Michael J. Fox syndrome. I just can't believe what I just saw. Oh, my God. 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 No. It was simply this motherfucker had no idea creatively how to progress the storyline without people accusing him of lying to people. That is the story, MJF and Tony Khan. And finally, Tristan, I hated Katie Vick. Hated it. All right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Monday night, the 22nd of August, I will be live at 11:05 p.m. with your Raw post show. You know, this will be the next to last Raw leading into Clash at the Castle. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Kevin Owens tomorrow on Raw. Yeah, I know we got Damian Priest and we got Edge. That's going to be great. We got Trish. You know, that's going to be great. A little nostalgia as well. We got the women's tag tournament continuing. But pay attention to Kevin Owens, because if we get Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos, remember the storyline. Why would Sami Zayn be willing to wrestle against the Usos, against the Bloodline? Something has to develop tomorrow to set up SmackDown, which would make the match official, and then next week some shit has to go down to make the fans even more clamoring for it. I think it's going to happen. And as of right now, I would not be surprised if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win those tag belts. So let's see what happens on Raw. Maybe nothing happens. Maybe nothing happens. I got this gut feeling, though, something's going down. So much love, everyone. I am out of here. Be well. All the best. And if you have any additional comments, post it after I complete the show, and I'll be more than happy to answer it. I thank you, as always, for the support. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, hit that thumbs up. You'd be surprised how much it helps. The more you, you know, you can only do it once, But the more of you that do that, the more you're telling YouTube, the more you tell that, hey, I kind of dug this show tonight. Maybe you should show it to one of Don Tony's haters. Maybe I can convert them into a fan again. Or maybe I could just rub it in their face because they don't like half the shit I'm saying. Because they know it's true. So, be well, everyone. Still no Bobby Fulton stuff. All right. No, we do have something. Bobby Fulton is back in the hospital with pronounced that dad is sepsis and double pneumonia. All right, I will get an update on Bobby Fulton. I will look at it. We will give an update tomorrow. You know, he's got a lot of health issues. You know, so you hear something like that, that's not good. Pneumonia is never good. So hopefully we don't have to report some horrible, horrible news tomorrow. But Mo Word says he's converted. Very cool. Very cool. Look, I definitely get that I have rubbed a lot of people the wrong way over the years. But I truthfully, once I started going video, I truthfully felt, you look at my eyes, you know, you could tell when somebody's lying to your face. You know, I think, unfortunately, the negative side of doing audio only for so many years is you hear the voice, you think of the things that rubbed you the wrong way, and you paint a picture about someone that maybe isn't very accurate. And especially with the disingenuous stuff on social media with so many people. How many people you come across on social media that you have no idea what they look like? None. You might have a baby picture. You might have a picture that's 20, 25 years old. You may have nothing. And they'll just tweet superhero things about themselves, tweet good this, tweet negative stuff, help me here, pray for me here, this and that. And you do that for a couple of years and you know, you create this persona about yourself that is false, that it's fake, the entire thing, and people buy into it. And then the worst part about it is people stop believing their own shit. And then ultimately, they end up on a true crimes YouTube video. It's amazing on YouTube. If you like true crime stuff, I've been on YouTube binge watching everything true crime. And you got to see how many YouTube tragedies there are. Forget the gang stuff. Every week you hear about somebody that's a YouTuber that's in a gang getting killed. That's all over the place. But you got to see how many people on YouTube that end up being a tragedy and you find out that they have like this Twitter profile for 20 years or 10 years and, you know, claim that they were this and this and that, and it was none of it was true. And people believed it. There's a girl right now, I don't remember her name, and something tells me, someone in the chat right now knows who I'm talking about. There's a girl that claimed she was homeless. She's in her 20s, and she was doing videos out of her car, and she ended up banking like $5,000-$10,000 in 1 month on YouTube because she is cute, she is young, her hair and makeup was perfect. She claimed she was homeless. You got a lot of people that thought, you know, maybe they can have a little connection, try to help her out and this, that, and it was all a lie. And then she got doxxed and they found out that she's been arrested for fraud. Is it Kashi Star? I knew someone out there was going to know. Props to you, People's Champ. Kashi Star. I think that's who she is. You will want to see something. Look up Kashi Star. K-A-S-H-I-S-T-A-R. Two words, Kashi Star. Look at that story and you'll see what I'm talking about. So I always felt if I went to video, you know, I may not be the most pleasing to look at. And I know a lot of you out there still access audio only. That's cool. That's just as good for me. But at least now you see the person behind the voice. And I don't think I'm that horrible of a person, you know? So, all right, you got another 9 minutes out of me. So, Gruss gives another suggestion, EDP, not DDP, self high five. E is an Edward, D is an David. That looks like a license plate number. E is an Edward, D is an David, P is a Peter, 455. I don't know. That looks like a plate number, but look it up too. Hey, it's public information. Yeah, there's some crazy shit, man. There's some wild shit that goes on, the fakeness, so. So I thank you all for the kind words. Again, hit that thumbs up. I'm out of here. Tune in tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. I would be much appreciative of it. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.